And we start another podcast.
Another one of these.
On time, on a normal schedule.
This is weird. We're supposed to record today.
We are, and we are recording today.
Weird.
And we've tested things, and it was working.
Keyword, was working.
Was working. So we can cross our fingers and hope it continues that way.
We can only hope, right?
We can hope.
What?
Oh, go ahead.
What episode are we doing today?
Super Ghouls and Ghosts, but I like to call it Super Ghosts and Ghouls.
It rolls off the tongue better.
It does roll off the tongue better. They should have talked to me before they made the game, but
yeah, they should have called up you, be like, "Hey, Kevin,
yeah,
what should we name our game? We have a couple ideas."
Super Ghosts and Ghouls.
Yeah,
not Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
I don't think I can actually say Super Ghouls and Ghosts without saying Super Ghosts and Ghouls.
Right? It's just not right.
The order of operations is clearly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's like math. PEMDAS. You remember PEMDAS?
Yep.
They did it wrong. They should have followed PEMDAS.
Yep. I agree.
Absolutely.
Motherfuckers missed out. Golden opportunity. You know why there isn't a Ghouls and Ghosts website right now? Because Ghosts and Ghouls is fucking better.
Way better.
And your game is dead because you didn't use the right name.
Well, I think it's dead for other reasons. But
no. It was a great game. It could have continued on with new... Look at Devil May Cry. Probably same age. I think. I don't know when it started.
At least
I can't remember.
I mean, like, Devil Cry Maybe is not the name. It's Devil May Cry.
Right.
And that, obviously, if they named their game Devil Maybe Cry,
they
wouldn't
dead
have done
too.
It would be dead, too.
Over. Uh-huh. Gone.
Just donezo.
Nobody cares. Your shit sucked. Your name sucked. It's all about naming.
Yeah.
And a little bit of location.
A little bit.
Not
I think time. Also timing might play a little bit of part in that, too.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. There's been a lot of great games. Star Wars Galaxies. If it was out now as a starter instead of this shit they call the Old Republic as an MMO.
It would be the staple.
It would be beating WoW because you know what it has? Had. It had the crafting. It had the survival. It had all that fucking bullshit that people are eating up right now.
Right. It's a game that I wish I had right now.
Yeah, there's supposedly... A buddy of mine gave me a link to where the people are still running a server. And you have to have had a copy originally and you can get in. But I haven't tried it because I don't want it to ruin the memories I have of how it was. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, that's fair. I played it ever so lightly.
I played it hard. It was fantastic.
Another game that's... There are also where games fail... Due to timing, there are also games that succeed due to timing.
Yep.
And that's also ruining the industry, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Speaking of ruining the time, or being good due to timing, have you played the new game Apex Legends?
I have not, but we've all talked about it and half of us have downloaded it.
I played 3 games and I uninstalled it.
Okay.
It was pretty horrible.
That's kind of what we're figuring it's going to be.
It's unfortunate that no one would agree with me. There are a lot of people who have been praising the game, and I can't come to any reason to praise it, I guess, besides timing, which is why that's why I brought it up.
Yeah, so maybe if they brought it out a year or two ago.
Right. It would have failed. No, it would have failed.
Oh, gotcha.
It's succeeding due to timing right now.
Because it's running on that PUBG wave.
Running on the PUBG / Fortnite wave.
Yeah.
And it's riding it, and people are eating it up because the timing was people are starting to dwindle from Fortnite.
Looking for that other thing.
Looking for the other thing, and then this came out, and it was like, wow, this is cool. And then in reality, it has some really deeming flaws, like the gameplay seems really imbalanced. It has conceptually issues, in my opinion, with ultimates and all that, because every character has their own ultimates and all that jazz. Which is...
Wait, Ultimates? Is this a first-person battle royale?
Yes.
And there's ultimate moves. So now ultimate it's moves. A... Should it be a MOBA?
It's like... No, it's like ultimate moves with like... So it's like a class-based battle royale. So it's like if Overwatch class system had sex with
Team Fortress?
With Fortnite minus the building... Ideally, that's what they were aiming for. But I feel there are deeming flaws because the Titanfall team canceled an important project, Titanfall, the new Titanfall that was supposed to come out.
I liked 2.
And they canceled 3 due to Apex Legends. Battle Royales are the flavor of the year. Well, starting to last more than a year
yeah.
at this point.
Yep.
But in my opinion, the time to time to kill in the game is really imbalanced. For example, I had a sniper fight, and I had a long range. Obviously, snipers are long range.
Yep.
I fired it off, 23 damage. I'm like, that was a pretty, that was like center mass. It's like 23 damage, and people have like 150 health. That's plus kind of, plus armor, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, shoot again. 23 damage. I'm like, okay, seriously, maybe he has really good armor, I guess. Shoot again. 38 damage. It's like, oh, I'm doing more damage, but he was just fine. I shot him three times with a sniper rifle, right?
Yes.
I'm like, okay, that's the time to kill, so that's what I can expect. Then my buddy, he got downed, which I'll talk about in the second squad, the squad. My buddy got downed, and then I ran out across this catwalk to resurrect him. And I was resurrecting him, and apparently like a just a hint of my body was sticking out. And I got one shot.
By the same rifle.
I don't know if it was the same. It probably wasn't the same rifle, but it was the same weapon class, a sniper rifle.
Yep.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Why am I fucking hitting with tiddlywinks and you're fucking shooting bazookas?
Right. What round size did your sniper rifle have?
I don't think they have.
They don't keep track. It's all made up guns?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe you had the VSS of sniper rifles.
Fucking. More like I had the fucking super soaker of piss rather than the fucking 50 cal Barrett sniper rifle or something.
Yeah.
Sure. But I mean, that was it felt really unfair to me. I'm like, I pegged you three times with a sniper. Why are you pegging me once?
Yep. Yeah.
Kind of thing. And like, I had good armor too. It's not like I was naked. I had good armor. So I was really upset with that. But then I played a couple more rounds. And
gave
I was,
it a shot.
Gave it a shot. You know, horrible. I remember immediately my first skirmish in the game. We encountered an enemy team. And we were communicating some flanks. And there was this person that was coming up behind my buddy. And I was behind him because I was playing 3D chess. And this guy was playing fucking checkers. But what really bothered me is I had full access to his back, clear shots, everything. The things that I did to have to kill him was incredibly stupid. I shot him with a shotgun twice.
Nice. Hold point on. Blank in the back.
Yes, point blank in the back. Hold on. It gets worse. I stuck him with a grenade. He didn't die. I what? Used my throwing melee weapon, which is apparently really strong. Hit him. He still wasn't dead.
The fuck is this guy on? God mode?
Right. And then I switch to my pistol, and I shoot him, and finally he dies.
So like, he takes two shotgun blasts,
yes,
a grenade,
yes,
exploding on his person.
Sticky grenade, nonetheless.
Yeah, so on his person, this grenade blew up.
Yes.
A throwing knife, melee damage, you probably took him half health with this weapon.
Yes.
And a pistol shot.
Yes.
Fuck that.
It took, I was like, I am incredibly accurate with all these things, and why is everything panning out? But why is he fucking not dead yet? It felt incredibly stupid.
So is one of their ultimates like a super heal or something? Or?
The guy I was playing, its ultimate was like a portal gun. You played Portal?
Yeah. Well, so, I haven't, but
you know the concept.
Yeah,
you
I
shoot
get the concept.
One, yet one orange portal, one blue portal, and you can go through it.
Yeah, we use portal guns in Shell Shock.
Okay, so you're familiar.
Yeah.
That's exactly what my ultimate was. So it wasn't even a damage one. It was a,
no.
It was a utility ultimate.
I get behind him and maybe knife him kind of.
Yeah. Which I had a bad experience with, too. But the biggest problem I had with the game is I usually have 4 to 8 people wanting to play games.
Yes.
Probably more so average is 4. The party size is 3.
That's so dumb.
So someone.
Why does anyone do a 3 party anymore?
Right. So I would have to sit out someone. And
rotate
just,
them in and out.
It just wasn't worth it to me.
No.
The game was like, you're riding off of Battle Royale success, and this game is poop. But everyone thinks you're great.
What's the max people per round?
60, I think.
60. So you could totally fit a 4-man team in there. I mean, that would be, what's 60 divided by 4? Not an even number, but.
Right.
But still, you should make it so you can have 4-man teams. That's the way to go.
60 divided by 4 is 15, so it's not an even number, but that's divisible by 3.
Yeah.
Okay. So it works.
Yeah. But they should have the main number be a divisible by 4 and work out.
I agree with that.
So that you can have. They're doing 3 because they think 60 is too small for
teams
of 4.
They wanted it to be different.
Right. But you got to remember, like in your case and everyone else's case, 3 is too fucking small. It's always too small.
Right.
For your party bit size.
In my opinion, it would have been. There's no solo play, by the way. You can't queue solo.
So you got to go with nubs.
You
got to
go with
randos
or 3. There's no duos. So I think they lose out.
Yeah.
You're forced to play with 3 people. Why?
We were looking at that too, and we've got an average of between 4 and 8 as well. So six on any given night. So now, well, six would be fine. We have two groups of three, but with the nights we have eight, two groups of three and a group of two.
Right.
Yeah. I probably won't install. I might still install it to try it because everybody else wants
it. It deserves a try. I will say that. You might end up liking it. But to put it into perspective, I stopped saying I'm going to go take a shit. I started saying I'm going to go take an Apex Legends.
Nice.
And on that note, we're going to cue the intro.
Go for intro.
And we are back again.
Yay for music.
So, Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yes.
Because we recorded our last episode so relatively close, I had a slight panic. I was like, oh, fuck, I haven't really played this game. Oh, fuck. I didn't get incredibly far, but I got enough to enjoy what it had.
Yeah, it's super difficult. Super fun.
I'm not a big fan of platformers entirely, but this game was incredibly cool.
Did you find the secrets?
No, I didn't delve in too deep.
Well, it's not like a secret area, like the chests.
Yeah. I saw the chests.
Yeah.
There's some things that I'd like to talk about those chests. So I got fucking screwed multiple times because I broke a chest and a wizard popped out.
And turned you into...
And he's like, you're a baby now.
So that means you got the chest out of order. You missed a chest.
Yeah, I definitely did because it was on top of like this tombstone. And I was like, I don't know how to fucking hit that without dying. So I left it.
And then, yeah, you got to jump and shoot it, or either it's a little teeny lip where you can get next to that chest and sit up there.
So, okay, so that's kind of cool. So, the game, let's before we get into the depth of it, why don't you explain what the game is?
So, you are, is it Sir Arthur? I think you're Sir Arthur. I don't know, you're
it's
a knight.
It's definitely a generic knight name,
yeah.
Plus a generic plot.
So, you start out in a little movie, as much as you could be in a movie in a Super Nintendo, and the princess... there's something going on and she gets stolen from you through the window by some monsters. Your job as the knight is to go find said princess and bring her home. And I forget her name too. And I forget the knight's name. We'll just call him Arthur.
Arthur,
knight name number one. So you start out in the graveyard and the ground goes up and down depending on where you walk. There's dogs and wolves that jump and zombies come out of the ground and they drop stuff. Could be weapons, which sometimes fucks you over real hard.
I think I mentioned it earlier, but what genre was the game?
What do you mean?
What kind of game? It was like a...
Just a platformer. You just side-scroller.
Okay. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
Make sure it's a side-scrolling platformer.
Mm-hmm. And it's super fun. So we played Super Nintendo a ton, my cousin and I. And this is one of the games, I think he owned it. I'm pretty sure he owned it. We didn't rent this one. So we would play it a lot when I'd stay there. And I'd stay there for weeks at a time. Well, not weeks. Maybe a week at a time in the summer.
Now, I didn't notice any multiplayer features, but it was single player.
Yeah, single player, yeah. You just keep playing. You know, you die, my turn. I die, your turn.
The good old classic way of playing.
Yeah, or maybe there was two player. I don't know.
I don't think there was.
I don't think there was. I always play, and I'm pretty sure we just swap controllers, even when my daughter and I play now, because I own the game. Mm-hmm. I have that for the SNES. But yeah, you run around. If you jump in certain areas just right, there's one right at the beginning of the game. You actually run backwards a little bit and just jump up twice, and a chest pops up.
Right
in the beginning.
Oh, wow.
So if you miss that first one, the next one's going to be
a wizard
or something bad or just nothing really good. But yeah, you got to get them in order, and there's three different sets of armor. You start in silver. You open the first chest, and it's green for bronze is what I'm assuming. And then the next chest is gold. And each weapon has different abilities depending on the armor you wear.
Yeah. I noticed the different colors. There was like light blue and there was gold.
Yep. So it's pretty cool. And like my favorite is the crossbow. So as soon as you have bronze armor, the crossbow fires three bolts and they seek enemies.
Yeah, I saw.
They squiggle around.
I think out of all the weapons that I encountered, my favorite was like the delayed dagger.
Yeah, it's super powerful.
You know which one I'm talking about, where you throw the dagger and it kind of like...
Bzing, bzing, bzing.
Exactly, like almost like a laser beam.
Yes.
And then you can do like a charge attack.
if you have the gold armor.
Yeah, and it has the dragon thing that
flies around. Across screen. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Heck yeah, it's super fun. The super for the crossbow reveals chests and hidden items in the game. So it doesn't damage anything, but when you hold it, if you're like, I know there was a chest in this area. I found it last time, but I don't know where it is. You can pop that ulti, and it will show you. It'll bring the chest right out of the ground. So super neat.
I would probably say that what I appreciated from this game so much is how dynamic it felt. So that's something that's probably incredibly underrated in platformers. If you look back in time, or even current platformers, you'll notice that all the good platformers are somewhat dynamic. So, like, static levels never really succeed very well, but ones that transform and kind of give you different perspectives. This game did that for me.
Oh, yeah.
That was incredible. So, like, I was like, okay, this game feels modern without the... I'm like, this game actually came out in 1991.
It's old.
It's older than me.
Yep.
And I was like, this feels nice for what it is and what time frame it came out.
Yep.
And I was, whenever you choose these games that are really old, like older than me, I'm always like, oh, God.
This is going to suck.
I'm like, this is going to be fucking terrible. I'm like,
I don't really want to even play it.
But I gotta.
Yeah.
But no, this one felt really nice. I have to say that. Incredibly impressed. I didn't get terribly far. I got just a little bit past the water level, and then I got into the castle.
Okay.
So that's where I ended up.
Nice, not bad. I don't know that I've beaten this game.
Really?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I might have beat it with my cousin back in the day, but I don't remember 100% that I've ever beaten it. So I can't tell you what happens at the end, because I don't remember if I ever have.
But
But it's hard.
Well, that's incredible, though, considering that you probably played how much of this game?
Oh, probably more than I have hours in Dota. We played this a shit ton off and on in my entire life.
Like, so how many hours would you...
I have over 1,000 hours in Dota.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I would assume I have more than that in this game.
Oh.
With it never beating... And never, like, 12 hours in a row. If I did a 12-hour session, I could probably beat it.
Well,
but
yeah.
It's like 3 hours, maybe 2 hours, and then it's like you put it away for a couple weeks.
And then you come back and start over.
Yeah, and you always have to start over because it doesn't save anywhere.
Right.
You can continue from the beginning or from where you left off, like if you don't shut the machine off. And I don't even know how long. I think you only get a couple continues that start from where you left off, like farther in the game.
It's kind of like my experience with Skyrim. Everyone knows this feeling where you're like, I want to play Skyrim. So you start a character. You create your persona. You create the character, and you're like, I'm going to be a magic archer.
Yep.
And you start off, and you're going through all the quests. And then you're doing the dragon thing. Like, you're learning the dragon. You're going to climb to the tower. And, you know, by this time that you're about in the tower talking to the elders, right?
Yes.
You're about 2.5-3 hours in, and you're like, you know, I'm going to save, and I'm gonna stop playing for a while. And then maybe you come back and start up again, continue, and then something happens or you play another game and then you don't play Skyrim for a few months. Then you're like, you know what? I'm going to go play Skyrim. But you don't remember exactly where you left off. And you're like, no, I need the full experience of this game. And then you start over again. And then it's a vicious fucking cycle. I never beat Skyrim, but I have like 400 hours.
Yeah, see, I've got a ton of hours, never beat it. I do have a guy that's like level 50.
In Skyrim?
Yeah.
I do all the side quests.
Yeah, the same. Yeah. I have not gone to the top of the mountain to talk to whoever you're supposed to talk to and do that, or kill that dragon, whatever you got to do up there. It's like part of the storyline missions. I stopped there, and then I just go cave diving.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so much fun.
And you just go roaming. And then sometimes even just fire up like 40 mods. And then
I don't do mods, but...
What?
Yeah.
You're missing out on a big proportion of this game.
I should mod it.
It's like Minecraft without mods. Like, Minecraft gets incredible.
See, right, I get that part, but I think base Skyrim is still super fun.
It is. And absolutely.
Whereas in Minecraft, now that I've modded Minecraft, I can't play vanilla.
Which is might be the same problem that you'll get with Skyrim, because you start modding it, you have a new graphics card coming.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, so you're probably pretty excited.
I'm super excited. I just found out the monitor comes tomorrow. This gift I purchased for my wife and daughter December 15th comes tomorrow.
And you got a graphics card and a monitor.
And a monitor. Both come tomorrow.
Yes. So that might be a good idea. Maybe fire up Skyrim. Throw some 4K mods on there. So I don't mean like 4K like as in like the resolution.
Right.
I mean like the textures, the resolution textures. You can improve it to 4K pretty easily.
Ooh.
You increase the graphics, the demand of your PC. Now that you got the new updated graphics card, you could pull more out of it.
Yep.
And then you throw in some gameplay mods, some survival mods, and it gets really incredible. And that's the problem now is I've become to the point where I'm too lazy to add the mods now, but I don't want to play. I don't want to play because I'm like, oh, I don't want to fire up all the mods. And
is it like ARC mods or it's fucking sometimes a pain in the ass to get them to work?
No, I'd say not as bad.
Okay.
Because they have this thing called Nexus Launcher. You just open up this program and it auto installs all the mods and it auto sorts them in boot order to make it work.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. So it's not too bad. There are some that won't play nice with others, and then there's a mod, ironically, that will they be like, these mods don't work well together. And it'll be like, you should either choose the one or the other, or you should download this compatibility.
You really another fucking mod to make a mod work with another mod?
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah, but all that kind of gets monotonous after you've done it 40, 50 times.
Yeah, that would suck.
Right, but it's definitely worth a one-time experience.
Maybe I will.
Yeah. Going back to the game, do you have any like fun stories that you have with the game?
See, there isn't. There's so much of this game. I don't have any one part that sticks out farther than the other because the whole baseline for it is up there as far as fun times go. So I don't have anything spectacular because it was all spectacular.
Right.
It was all good. So it's just nostalgic by itself because of all the fun we had growing up.
When's the last time you played it before this podcast?
Before this podcast? Probably 4 or 5 months ago.
Fucking
yeah. It's not one I've stopped playing. I play it all the time. As soon as I had a Super Nintendo, this was one of the first things I bought besides like the FFs.
Right. Final Fantasy. So for you, you would consider it a staple like Final Fantasy would be?
Absolutely. It's a gotta have if you have a Super Nintendo. You need super ghosts and ghouls, fuckers. Not ghouls and ghosts.
I could just see it now. You're at home. You have a masking tape. You cover up the ghouls part. You put ghosts.
I haven't gone that far. But I think my daughter calls it super ghosts and ghouls, too, because that's what I've always called it.
I mean, you mentioned it once, and I can't unhear it.
Yeah, that's the way it should have been.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Maybe it was intentional so that people in the future have this conversation right now.
That'd be fantastic if it was, but I doubt it. Hold my breath.
I doubt it.
I don't.
I know, like this, like I said, this game wasn't the first in the series.
I know there was one for the Nintendo, and I think, well, after you had mentioned it, there might be one for the Game Boy. But I knew about the Nintendo one, but I'm not sure I've ever played that one.
So this is actually the third game in the Ghosts and Goblins series.
Ooh.
Have you ever played the Ghosts and Goblins?
No. What console?
It would have. So Ghosts and Goblins was a platformer, run and gun platformer that made. It was released as an arcade title in 1985. Ooh. So this derived from originally an arcade. You can kind of get that feeling playing Ghosts and Ghouls.
It's fun, arcade.
But
fun.
Like you mentioned with the saving feature. Like, yeah. A lot of these arcade games don't have that save feature.
Nope. You got to keep going.
Right.
Put in that extra fucking quarter.
Yeah, so this one came out originally for the arcade. It was, apparently the main series contains 7 games.
What?
Ghosts and Goblins, Ghouls and Ghosts, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, Makai Mura for Wonderswan. What the fuck? Ultimate Ghosts and Goblins, and then Ghosts and Goblins Gold Knights, and Ghosts and Goblins Gold Knights 2. And this one focuses on the knights. So the original Ghosts and Goblins focuses on the knight Arthur's quest to save Princess Prinprin from the Demon King Astaroth. So that was the original. Prin. Yeah, the goddamn princess was named Prinprin. But I think this was probably the most popular out of the series, I think. That's probably why you may have never heard of the other ones because you probably came to Origin with this one.
I can't believe I'm looking at the ghosts and goblins, how similar they look. Like, there wasn't a lot of depth change. Like, even the lance looks the same.
Oh, I would imagine most of the games in this era were remakes.
Yeah, it had to have been, like, a lot of copy and paste. I would be pissed about now. Ark Atlas, copy-paste, fuckers, it's not a new game. It's the same game.
Yep.
But at least back then, I wouldn't have been pissed about it. And I'm not pissed about it now.
I don't know. That's a kind of an interesting point to bring up. Like, thinking back, right?
Mm-hmm.
The games that we get regurgitated, the copy and paste games that we get now.
Yep.
They've been doing it since the original games.
Yeah.
Constant copy and pastes, constant recolors. And they sold. And they were never, well, they may have been criticized for it, but definitely not crucified as much as they are now.
Well, we're in a different day and age now. Like,
and that's kind of the perspective that I wanted to bring up as well. Like, there's a lot more money in video games now. A lot more.
Yeah, tons.
There are, it pales in comparison to how many people play games compared to what they did in the 90s.
Yep. I mean, there was a lot then, but not even close.
Well, like anyone growing up in the 80s, 90s, went to school during the 80s and 90s. You went to school in the 80s?
Yeah.
Okay. And I went to school in the 90s and the 2000s. So, like, even when I was going to school, like, being a gamer, you were considered a nerd.
Yes. Yep. Looked almost down upon, if not literally down upon it sometimes.
Exactly. And, you know, it was trying to argue that you were a geek, not a nerd.
Yep.
At that point.
And that was harder. You didn't have the fuel you do now for geeks.
No, not at all. But geeks are fucking everywhere now.
Oh, yeah. It's the new fucking jock.
Oh, absolutely.
Geeks is the new jock.
Maybe not as asshole-ish.
Well, no, we're cooler than jocks.
Okay, maybe just as asshole-ish.
No. Let's be honest. Who would you rather have to deal with, a jock or a geek?
A geek.
Yeah.
Depends if you're trying to outsmart them, though. If I'm trying to outsmart someone, I'd rather...
Do the jock, right? Do the jock. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It's geek is the new normal, in my opinion, with society. Like, shows like Big Bang Theory 20 years ago wouldn't worked.
No, not at all.
You wouldn't have an audience for it.
Like, there's been a common saying for all that is that the Big Bang is a show about smart people for dumb people. And mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Absolutely.
100%. I can't stand that show.
Oh, it's so funny.
I can't stand it.
No, they because of that show, I know I talked about what I listened to as far as like podcast. They're not, it's a YouTube show by PBS. But because of that show, I started listening to that show because it brought in my curiosity, like physicists and things of that nature. And it's almost got me to the point of starting to learn to be a physicist because I'm enjoying it that much.
Hmm.
Like, it's tons of fun. Learning about black holes, space, all that.
Are we still
bullshit.
Talking about Big Bang?
Yeah. Yep. Because they're physicists.
You're talking about the one with Sheldon and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Just making sure we're not talking about some documentary.
No, that show made me interested in physicists and what they do and astro whatever the fuck they are. And now I watch YouTube shows about that stuff to learn that stuff. And it's fun and interesting. And I'm able to it's like some of the formulas. I don't have any high math. Like, the highest math I went to is algebra and geometry. But I'm enjoying doing some of that higher math along with them and learning it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, if that's what you're into, I guess.
I am a little. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I can't stand the show, so.
Super funny.
Something about the characters just throw me off.
It's not for everybody.
No, it's not. But this game... You said it was just at an all-time high for you.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It is fantastic. No matter when I play it, it's fantastic fun.
I mean, like I said, I honestly surprisingly enjoyed it.
And now that you know the chests are in order, I'm going to have a feeling you're going to go back.
I'm going to probably go back and I'm going to be like, okay, so that motherfucker ain't going to be a wizard this time.
It's not going to be a wizard. And the best part about the baby is like you get turned into a little swaddled baby with a bonnet and everything, and you jump. And you hit the ground and you throw a tantrum because it hurt. You're like, ah, slamming your hands on the ground.
Yeah, so I got turned into a baby when I was supposed to jump. And it didn't work so well.
No.
This is my embarrassing moment while playing it. The first moment that I played it, like, I had no idea what to expect. And I'm playing it, and I, you know, quickly realize I got to throw my lance at the zombies. But I looked in the top right, and I'm like, oh, there's a 5-minute timer. And the initial level design from the start almost looks like I'm in an arena, or not like an arena, but it looks like I'm supposed to fight my way out.
Yes.
Because the terrain raises, and I was like, oh, maybe I'm trapped in here now, and I got to fight for 5 minutes. Until something changes, and then I can probably leave. So I fought in that fucking arena for 5 minutes. Nothing happened.
No, you ran out of time.
Because I tried to jump.
Yeah.
But I didn't know I could double jump for a while. So I sat there and I fought through the arena. I'm like, okay, that obviously is not what I'm supposed to do. And then I go back, and then I try to jump. And I try to jump on the tombstones that are obviously in the background. I'm like, no, that doesn't work either. And I'm like... Maybe there's a double jump. I'm like, oh my God, what a glorious waste of time. I'm like, ah. The game got relatively hard, though. There were a lot of things that were really necessary. Like, you needed to time things really well.
Yep.
The water level got me stuck the longest.
That's difficult.
The timing with, like, the lightning strike, between lightning strikes and all that kind of stuff kind of threw me off.
It's hard. It's... If you can get past the water to the pirate ship and past the pirate ship,
yep,
you're golden for the next few levels. That's like the hard. It's all hard, but it's like, I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. Once you're past there, you're like, and then everything's just easier for a little bit.
It's all downhill.
Yeah, but then it gets hard again after a couple more levels. But when you get there, you know, I'm like, all right, for a while, the next one will be okay, and the next one after that will be okay. And I don't even know, like, I can tell you where all the chests are, or at least if I can't tell you, I can get them by memory to the end of the pirate ship. Once I get past that,
It gets kind of hazy,
yeah. My body will know how to jump for certain ones afterwards, but not everyone. But it's still great.
The castle level, kind of going back to dynamic levels, was kind of cool. That was their attempt. Excuse me.
Yeah,
it felt like their attempt to do like that kind of 3D like illusion.
Yes.
You know, when you're running up the side of the castles, and it was really cool because it would barely move you up a little bit, and it was just a lot of camera tomfoolery. So like you're running and it makes it look like the platform that you're running on is spinning with you and it's bringing you upwards. And then like they even do like these angular pixel frames with the enemies that are stuck on the wall with the gargoyles.
Yes, yeah.
That was really cool how they tried to do that. And like, that's pretty incredible for 91.
Yeah. Super Nintendo, they right. did a lot.
No, it was fantastic. Like, I would love to see a modern remake in like a modern engine with this game.
Would you want it a side scroller, or would you want it to be like third person 3D?
Side scroller.
I think I would too.
I think I'd want it to be a side scroller. So, I mean, have you played any modern side scrolling?
No.
Platformers?
Not really. Like Terraria, kind of. But that's not the
same. That's not really the same.
Yeah.
A game that comes to mind is Dead Cells.
Nope.
That's probably one of my favorite modern platformers today. Really, really good game. It has pixel graphics still.
Nice.
But it has really smooth animations, has great weapon choices, great progression. It's fantastic. That is definitely a game that I would recommend that you maybe even take a look at if you like platformers, because it seems like most of the games that you've had me play are platformers.
See, yeah. I'm not a huge fan of new ones. Like, I'll go back to my old ones, or I'll try some old ones, but it doesn't have the same feel.
I know what you mean.
For the new platformers. So I don't hit a lot of them. I don't even do a lot of console gaming anymore. I have a shit ton of consoles, so I can when I want to, but I normally just do PC stuff.
Yep.
And I don't do emulation for the most part. I'll get it for the console.
Dead Cells is for the PC.
Okay.
There's no emulation needed. It's just straight on Steam. And I think it's like $10.
That's not too bad.
No. And then worst case scenario, Steam has a great return policy. So if you played it and you didn't like it, you could just
get your money back.
Speaking of getting money back, we just did that with Road Redemption. Have you ever played Road Rash?
I think we actually bought Road Redemption, and I think I returned it.
It was okay.
Very disappointed.
It was okay. Like, I think the problem with Road Redemption, I should say, is that I felt like I played the entire game in a matter of 2 hours.
Yeah, And it's not as fun as Road Rash.
No, I'd rather play Road Rash.
Exactly. Road Rash is way more fun, even though it's on the Sega. I have it for the Sega, I think, and I have Road Rash 3. But I didn't have the fun factor from Road Redemption.
Not at all.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the whole group of us returned it.
There was no... I don't know. Like, Road Rash did a unique way of you getting to like characters, even.
Yeah.
They were all kind of unique in their own silly fashion.
And you got to buy new bikes. Like, upgrade them and shit like that, which is super cool.
But in this one, is like, okay, you unlock it at this level. You unlock this at this level. You get to pick Steve, Joe, John. Like,
yeah.
I don't know who these fucking people are, and I don't care.
No, I didn't either.
That was probably the most recent excursion that I had.
Which is unfortunate. But yeah, we did that same game, and we're like, oh, this will be awesome, and we all bought it. Like, six of us bought it. Six of us returned it.
Ooh.
But that's all right.
I mean, yeah, that's, like I said, that's the beauty of the return policy.
Yeah, which I appreciate, Steam. Don't change that.
Yeah, no, seriously, please don't change that. I use it a lot because it's a great way to make sure that I'm buying games that I like. They occasionally will send me, every time I try to refund, I probably do a refund a month.
Oh, dang.
I do it pretty frequently.
Yeah.
But I have 300 and something games.
You have a Humble subscription as well?
No.
Oh, okay.
So I have a lot of fucking games.
That's a lot of games, yeah.
And they occasionally will send me, you know, if you abuse this policy, we may have the right to decline a refund. They haven't declined a single refund yet.
Yeah. It's not my fault the game sucks, guys.
Right.
I mean, I
buy the game. If I like it, it'll deserve my money.
Yep.
But if I don't like it or it's unplayable, they don't deserve anything.
Right. Exactly. And there's a lot of games that are out there on Steam Early Access or wherever they are that don't deserve money. They didn't put enough time in before they put them out there for us to buy.
Right.
I've played a pile of them. I still own a pile of them because I forget about the 2-hour thing and I get past it. And then I can't fucking return it.
So what kind of weapons were in this game besides the crossbow and that one?
Well, there's the crossbow, the lance, the dagger.
The one the laser dagger thing.
The laser dagger, yep. An axe. And
what does the axe do?
So it goes, when you throw it, it goes up and then down and out. So it goes in kind of a straight line, but at first it goes straight up.
So
it
like arcs up and then...
Yeah, and then down and around. I don't remember each one's individual
special
power. Yeah, one of them is twin tornadoes. That might be the lance or the axe. I don't remember. And the dagger obviously is the dragon. I don't really care much at all for the holy fire.
Is that the torch that like shoots like the fire out? I fucking hated that weapon because it doesn't come through in a pinch.
No, it doesn't.
If you're good at timing, sure, it could probably be a strong weapon. But if you're in a pinch or, you know, some random generated creature comes out at the wrong time,
you're dead.
You're dead.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like you had a lot of counterplay.
Nope. That's my least favorite weapon. And I think it has probably one of the best alts from my memory, but I don't know what it is. We'd have to look that up. But it was, yeah, one of my least favorite. I hate when you kill like one of those little flyers with the little chest on its back. And it drops a torch and you land on it because you've already double jumped.
Oh, no.
And your weapon changes.
The weapon. That was probably something that I noticed as well. Like, you break the pot. Like one of the bats are carrying the pot. And, like, you kill it and it falls on top of you. And you're like, fuck, there goes my weapon.
And you're like, I have the crossbow. I've got the gold armor. I've got the shield. I'm upgraded max. Love the crossbow. And then you get the fucking flames. You're like, oh, you motherfucker. I didn't even like the
lance.
This
is going to make the boss real hard.
Yep. The dagger was probably my second weapon choice over
next to the crossbow.
Yeah, just because you can have so many on the screen at the same time.
Yes, that's why I liked it so much, is because you could also pre-plan the creatures coming.
Yep.
And the timing just felt right.
Yeah. And the dragon wasn't a great super, but it wasn't bad.
It was good for those awkward positioned ones that you couldn't jump and hit with it.
Yeah, because that dragon like shoots out and then up and then just circles around the screen.
Randomly.
It doesn't go like in a straight line in front of you, so you kind of got to plan it right to hit anything with it.
Right. It was a little bit difficult, but that's kind of like why I liked it, is because it felt like it got all those creatures that were kind of out of the way.
Yep. The ones that you can get easily are dead.
Right.
but it's pretty cool.
And then, I got the shield. What does that do?
So the shield will block, like when you're in the water level and those things were shooting the little balls at you, that'll block those little balls.
So it's nice. I never got the shield up until the castle.
Yeah. So when you
was I just unlucky?
Yeah. Well, you have to get the chest and you have to get every chest in order. After you get the gold armor, the next chest is a shield. If you miss the chest, it's a shield. You get the baby, the magician, or just nothing. Or
yeah, he turned me into a woman on that one.
Yeah, it's funny. What you get bad shit. But you have to get them in order, and you can't even miss like where they were. If you didn't know where they were and you go to the next chest, you're still fucked.
What if, what is there any other transformations that that wizard that breaks out of the chest turns you into besides a baby
I just
and a woman?
Just the two.
Just the two?
Yeah.
So I experienced both of them.
Yeah. And I'm very rarely in the woman. Normally, I'm always the baby. And I don't mind. I like jumping and screaming because I hit the ground.
Yeah, you do that on the regular.
I do. It's my normal daily routine. I got to get up for work. No!
God damn it!
Yeah, slamming my fists into the floor, throwing a little tantrum.
Dude, nothing like having to get out of bed in a nice, comfortable, warm bed like having to get up. It's the worst.
See, that's why I keep my bed cold. So it's not that great to be in bed, and it's not that bad to be in bed because it's just always
it's like one of that lukewarm. One of those memes with that black guy who's you know tapping his temples. You know, it's hard to it's easy to wake up if your bed's always cold.
Yes. Like, and I like a nice warm bed. I did actually have to use the wife put an electric blanket on my bed. During that super cold snap we had.
Yep.
And I did actually turn it on for a couple of nights.
From that polar vortex.
Yeah. But I took another blanket off my bed, so I'm down to one again because it was getting warm.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, if you're not super warm, it ain't bad to get out. Just like showers. If you're in the winter, your house ain't super warm, and you take a medium cold shower, coming out's nice because the air's warmer than the water was. Problem solved.
It's like the sauna effect.
Yeah, except the sauna's cold, so it's freezing you. So when you go outside into the frozen, it's warmer.
Yeah, seriously though, I love that. Have you ever went into a sauna and you know enjoyed the warmth, and then you immediately go jump in like the snow?
I have jumped in the snow. It wasn't that great. I've never jumped into the lake. Like I've been at the saunas doing the sauna, but I'm not crazy. So I didn't jump in the water.
Not crazy. I think it's supposed to be therapeutic.
Well, it totally is. And then I've also been told hot and cold changes like that can stop your heart.
Yeah. So, I've heard both sides of that story. Because like I said, I've also heard like it's good for your body. And then I also heard it's bad.
Yeah. They yell at us in basic about that. Because we'd get done with a road march, which was a road sprint for 8 miles. And then we'd all be running our heads under cold water. And we get just smoked.
See, I think that might be different due to some sort of like exhaustion. But I don't know what the reasoning is, so I don't have any scientific proof to back that.
I just have what I was told.
Right.
And if it was knee deep and I could just jump in.
Well,
you know,
when has the government ever been wrong, Kevin?
You notice I don't work for them anymore.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I like whenever I hear someone be like, when I was in the army, I'm like, when has the government ever been wrong?
Right. And the nice part is inside of your each individual company or whatever, you're not quite so affected by, I mean, you are, but you're not.
Right.
You still have to follow military protocol, and
yeah,
which is not built by the government, thankfully. It's built by the military, run by the government. It still sucked. Let's be honest.
Are you still just playing Atlas now?
Well, no, we got away from Atlas for a little bit because it ended up being just me. But I was raiding people's houses, fucking pissing off the entire neighborhood.
That's basically what Rust became for you.
I am now Rust Atlas. Like, I've been having so much fun by myself with this little war that someone started with me, which, you know, shouldn't have because I'm crazy and I don't have any time for anything
else.
And
I wake up at
fucking
3 a.m. and I'm going to fuck you over.
Well, no, I just stay up till 3 fucking you over. I go to bed at 6 to get up at 6-ish, get my daughter up for school at 7, shower, and then play until I go for work for another couple hours to fuck with you some more. Got a lot of time.
This man doesn't sleep, everybody.
I don't sleep. Sleep is not what I need right now. I need video game time when my family's sleeping.
Right.
So I can play lots.
Don't
yeah.
know how you even fucking manage, dude. If I get anything less than 6, I'm just crazy.
Well, sometimes I go to bed early and I'm like sleep at 1 or 2.
Right.
But not all the time.
No, no. I definitely see you on Steam the majority of nights I go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoy my time.
Yeah. Which, respectful. Video games are extremely fun.
I gave up everything when I moved to where I live now because there wasn't even internet. So I had shit internet. And I think we had broadband, but I was pulling a meg. So my Steam downloads were 100K, 200K. So it's like a week to download a gigabyte game.
No, thank you.
Yeah, it sucked balls. But yeah, so I quit drinking. I don't smoke cigarettes. I never did drugs. So it wasn't I gave up pretty much everything living here. I was going to do paintball a ton, but building courses is a lot of work.
It really is.
And then we got high-speed internet. Well, we got better internet from the same people. And I was able to play games again. And that's all I do. That's my pastime. That's why I'm getting, as much as my wife doesn't like it, a Ryzen 7 on Monday. And hopefully going to have a great time with it.
The video card one.
The video card one, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a Ryzen 7 processor.
I plan on buying a new house, this year.
Yeah, you need to hold off then, unfortunately, probably.
For what?
Buying extra, you know, $700,000 things.
Yeah. I got to keep those purchases down to a deal.
Yeah.
But the reason why I brought this up is because I will genuinely not move to a place that has horrible internet. I could find the most beautiful house below market price. Absolutely
on
gorgeous.
The lake.
On
You're
the
lake. Only people living there.
Only people living there. Has everything I want. Beautiful man cave, bar, big backyard, fenced in for the dogs to run around. Everything, right?
Yep.
And then they would be like, but the fastest internet you got is...
Dial-up.
The fastest internet you got is the satellite internet. Now, I think... Here's my opinion on dial-up versus satellite internet. At least you know what to expect with dial-up.
Yeah, yeah.
with a satellite internet, your expectations are set a bit higher... Say, oh, it's fast internet. It's faster.
Yeah. For a while.
For a while. And then it's not.
Yep.
And then it's not. And then you also have massive latency because the traveling from point A to point B is a lot further than a cable network or what a cell phone network would be required for.
Yep.
So the latency is much higher because, I mean, don't quote me. I'm not an internet genius, but I'm pretty sure the way that the satellite internet works is your satellite dish communicates with a satellite in space, and then that satellite will try to navigate your connection or wherever you're trying to connect to the nearest location via satellite downward, and then it gets into a fiber network, and then it brings it up to where it needs to be. That's how networks work.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that's how that works. I've never, like I said, I've never personally researched that, but I'm 90% sure that takes a long fucking time to get from your satellite dish to the space.
Yeah, my brother at one point had a satellite service up here that was new to the area. I think our power company put it on. But anyways, he had it, and I was renting a Counter-Strike server at the time because I ran that Cal team.
Yeah, I remember you telling us.
And we'd play Ice World, and he'd be here, and then he would be here. Like 100 feet away, and then he would be here, and that's how his ping was.
Yeah.
Like it was pegged for a ping speed, and you couldn't see where he was. And he couldn't shoot you because he couldn't see where you were.
Right, because he gets updates every 15 seconds.
Yeah. So for that, it didn't work, but he was able to play original Galaxies before they went to the new version.
MMOs are freakish like
that. Yeah, so he could play MMOs, but he couldn't do...
Anything that had a lot of packets that had to be transitioned.
Yep.
Yeah, so... That would be my thing. Like, I wouldn't buy a house that has horrible internet. It would be a requirement that I have some sort of decent internet.
Yes.
Absolutely required. Like, I get it. Even if it's not, you know, I don't need it to be 100 megs. At least, like, probably 25 is what I need.
I'm getting 40 on my best days now, but it still only translates to a 5 megabyte download.
See, I could probably live with 25. I don't want it, but I could live with it. I currently have 150, and I'm happy with that.
Yeah, that's a lot.
150 is fast enough. I'll download all my games at 20 megs a second. You know, a 70 gig game will be downloaded in about 10 minutes. I can handle that.
It's not bad.
It's very fast.
I miss them speeds.
Very fast. However, if I had DSL, you'd be firing it up overnight.
That's what I do now.
Waiting for it. You know, your friends want to play a new game. You're like, hold on, we'll wait till tomorrow. That type of thing.
Yep. There are days I can get a bigger game down, like not bigger, but like a 5 or 6 gig game down in less than an hour, like 20 minutes. If my internet's firing off perfect, most of the time I'll get it downloaded tonight when I'm sleeping. It'll be done tomorrow. We'll play tomorrow night.
Yep. And this game doesn't have, so going back to Ghosts and Ghouls, this game never had to worry about things like that.
No.
Which is maybe another reason why even remaking or rehashing games worked so well, is because there wasn't such a massive form of, you know...
Distribution,
thank you. Yeah. Distribution or communication with others to communicate. A lot of hive mind opinions happen. People are swayed by personalities or by... overall judgment very easily nowadays.
Yes.
They probably don't realize it, but we're swimming in an era of Twitch streamers that force opinions onto people, and because they quantify them as, you know, their idol or their entertainment, they'll believe anything that they say.
It's just like that one game. Was it SOS?
Sea of Thieves? Wait, SOS?
No, like SOS. Not Sea of Thieves, but... where you were like dropped into a zone with people and you had to talk your way out to be like, to get out of the game. It was almost like a Hunger Games where people could give you things, but the streamers playing it, it looked like a super fun game. You could kill each other or you could work together talking to each other throughout the gameplay
right.
to work together to get out of
it. It sounds kind of fun.
But it went down to where the streamers were getting all the devs' attention. None of the regular players were. So that basically killed the game from what I read. And, you know, we were all going to buy it until we started reading the reviews.
Yep.
We're like, nope. If you're not a streamer, don't play this game because you get nothing. So we're like, it could have been a great game, but so many people listening to so few people ruined it.
Here's another problem. Another problem with that aspect of Twitch streamers. Game developers don't need to pay for advertisement anymore.
I know.
They can pay a streamer.
I want to be that streamer.
Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of people that want to be that streamer, which is probably another reason why there's such a big problem with this, is that developers will pay, you know, let's just say 3 top streamers. Okay, so who are the top streamers right now? You have Ninja. Ninja's probably well-known. You probably heard of him.
I don't know. Probably.
He's like the number one Fortnite streamer or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Summit 1G. I personally like Summit 1G. And then there's like Shroud. He's a professional gamer. He played for Cloud9 on Counter-Strike.
That name is familiar.
Yeah, so those three are considered like the top streamers overall. So you could pay those three people money.
To play your game.
You spent nothing else on any advertisement anywhere ever.
They're going to get a base.
You're going to get a base of probably, you'd probably get 300,000 people minimum watching you.
What if the game sucks, though?
Doesn't matter. If they shill it, so shilling is another word for, you know, pumping it up or, you know.
Oh, so the Twitch streamers are going to pump it up.
Talk it up.
Yeah, even though it sucks.
And they're
going
to shill it. And then even though it might not be a super good game. Now, I don't know how that whole system works, but I'm going to assume, because it's safer to say that if they're in bed with the developer, per se, I'm just going to say that they're probably also going to say they like the game, even if they might not.
Okay. Now, when you're watching the guy you said you watch,
Summit 1G,
does he say he doesn't like games when he's trying new ones, or does he always kind of talk about
it? He kind of avoids it.
Okay.
He'll say things are bullshit. I think more often than...
Oh, that was bullshit.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Individual instances
of things being
overall.
Bullshit.
Gotcha.
But he won't overall say this game sucks. So I think there's like a teeter-tottered line that he has to follow in order to be paid by them or something.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, I hate to say it and I hate to see it, but at the same time,
that's the hive mind that I was talking about. They can literally talk up a shit game, which could be completely irrelevant. But it's relevant because of these guys. But that's the difference between 91 and current days. So, I mean...
Yeah, there wasn't anything like that. You played it, you liked it, you borrowed it to your buddy who played it and hopefully liked it.
Yep, and that's basically what's wrong with the MMO community now, too. is there's no interaction with each other at all.
No.
And then we need that.
Gotta have.
That's what internet, that I liked the internet for. It was interaction that had required no physical commitments.
Or touching.
You know, you didn't have to
touch anybody.
You didn't have to get the flu or herpes just because you wanted to talk to someone.
Right. Or hep C from the toilet seat.
Well, I mean, sure. If you're cybering people, sure. Like that could be your line.
No. I mean, you can catch it from a toilet seat, but you can't catch it, you know, sitting together in a helicopter that's virtual, you know, as he spits in your eye or something.
That's true. I don't want that to happen.
No. Got off tangent a little bit there.
No, that's the point. I mean, it's a simple platformer, which was a fantastic game.
Oh, so much fun.
Few different weapons, few different armors. The storyline was basic. You're super cookie cutter. You're a knight to save
a princess.
A princess. Yeah. We've never seen that plot.
Never. Like, who?
Who thought of that?
Who thought,
right?
Of that? Yeah, that's a little burp there.
Who would have ever thought of that plot? It's so unique. Yep. So clever.
Even in 91, you know, brand new idea. Never happened.
Brand new. It's like the anime plot, you know, there's a evil force taking over the world.
Yes. So help us.
Help us.
Save the world. Or yeah. Don't.
Whatever.
But find a new best friend, a lady interest.
Yep.
And a small animal. It'll be great.
Would you argue that the reason why gaming as a whole is because of these plots? In the sense of, like, skewed to the male gender?
I mean, it definitely has
a contributing
been
factor.
Skewed and a contributing factor, yeah.
Yeah, I could probably see that. You know, like, women don't want to go save a princess.
No. What fun would that be? They probably don't want to go save a prince either. Right. Maybe they do, though. I could be completely wrong.
Right.
But, I mean, I really don't even want to save a princess. I only do it because they make me.
But at the time, you know, I guess it was more of a honeymoon phase with story plotting.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty early. There were a few great stories back in those days, which would be like the Final Fantasies and games of that nature.
Yeah, there are more and more girl gamers now.
Oh, huge amount of
I think a lot of them might be closet gamers even.
Get out of the closet, ladies.
Afraid to tell anyone.
But wait, on the other side of that, I know how guy gamers react to when they find out what the person they're playing with is a girl.
Huh?
Yeah, so stay in the closets, ladies. Men can't be trusted online.
Oh my God,
they're
like,
horrible.
It's like a flock of fucking seagulls.
Yeah, it's mine.
Exactly.
Oh,
it's it's so gross
sometimes.
Yeah. Shame.
But yeah, stay in the closets. Don't listen to me about coming out of the closets, girls.
Yeah,
stay in there.
Stay in the closets.
Be George from Georgia.
There are too many fedora wearing nerds out there.
Yeah, who think way too highly of themselves because they have 3 maxed out level characters. And some rare gear.
I have the most gold on the server.
Yeah.
I like how that's how the fedora wearing neckbeards sound. I'm sorry if you wear a fedora or you are currently wearing a fedora while listening to this podcast. You can kindly shut it off now.
I'm not. I mean, we're just being honest and realish.
Yeah. We apologize that we made fun of you fedora wearing.
No,
we don't. Let's be real.
I used to wear a fedora.
You could have at least wore a trilby. Let's be honest.
Yeah, maybe.
A little bit more classy. Hey, man, you probably go home, stay awake until 3, 4 a.m. wearing
your 3-piece suit?
Fedora. Making your 3-piece KFC chicken nugget meal.
Nice. Oh, so many calories, but so tasty.
KFC. So we have a guest next episode. Yeah, what are we doing?
Kingdom Hearts 2.
Kingdom Hearts 2.
For the PlayStation 2.
Yes, that should be fun.
I stayed away from the Kingdom Hearts because growing up, it's like it's a Disney game.
Yep.
And I'm like, man, I like DuckTales.
DuckTales.
But I don't think I'm going to like a Disney RPG. You know what I mean?
I never played Kingdom Hearts 2, but I do have Kingdom Hearts 1 experience. Never even come close to beating it, but I liked it.
See, and I didn't think they would be able to pull off an RPG that would I'm so at this time period, I'm basing this off of Final Fantasies.
Yep.
You know, Dragon Warrior.
Yep.
For the Nintendo. What other great Dragon Lance, I think there was a Dragon Lance game. My own Dungeons and Dragons experiences.
Mm-hmm.
and then there's a Disney RPG.
And you're like,
Like, sorry, I'm not trying you even. Not going to play you. Sorry.
It's fair. I mean, but we'll get to play it this week.
I'll get to try it, yeah.
And yeah.
We'll come back with a verdict.
Yeah. I can't speak for Kingdom Hearts 2, but I liked Kingdom Hearts 1. And I have never played 3 that just came out.
That's the new one?
That's the new one that just came out.
Yeah, and I know she sent pictures out of her having it in her hands, so she's already probably
playing and enjoying
deep in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should be fun. Let's go to ratings. Let's start with you.
So
okay, we'll start off with the overall rating you currently feel the game deserves.
5.
Really?
Yes.
A whole 5.
A whole fucking 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Just flat out. You don't want to dish out those 5s.
I do not want to dish out those 5s, but this is literally a game. I've not played Ocarina of Time as much as this one.
I mean, it's incredible to me that you could even put in thousands of hours into this game.
It's that I'm going to be playing it in like 4 months again.
Yeah.
Just to fucking play it.
Just because.
Just because. Yeah.
All right.
It's never stopped.
And I'm assuming you're going to probably go down the same road here. What was your rating back then?
Back then, I probably only would have given it a 4.
What?
Yeah. Even it hasn't had time then to build to what it is for
me
now. Had
to cook in the oven for a little bit.
Yeah. It stewed.
And you're probably mad that they named the game wrong.
Yeah. Idiots. What do you do?
Camera angle doesn't really apply.
It's a side scroller. It gets one.
So I
still think it's better than Goemon's camera.
So I'll follow through with how I rated Pokemon Silver yesterday and just rated a 10 because it suffices and services what it should be.
Okay. That's probably what I should do too, but I'm still going to just give it a 1 because there's nothing that they can change it to.
No, right. That's, in my opinion, that's why it deserves a 10.
But it's not a 10 because it's not the best camera I've ever seen. It's just...
Right. I'm going to consider it based on like a utility sense. It gets its job done type of thing. Whereas like Goemon had a lot to be desired.
It did.
Yeah. Even in my opinion, Ocarina of Time had a lot to be desired. But, you know, those 3D space games early on were interesting.
I don't even remember what I rated that one for camera.
I think it was like 6.
2 or 3?
No, I think 2 or 3 was correct.
Because it was still jerky, and especially if you got up against a wall, and then you are to put it right behind you, but you're up against the wall, so you're looking.
I'll just have to fire up and listen to figure out where you're
sitting. Maybe
that's the beauty of the podcast. We have our recording of us saying it.
So we can go back, and there's always evidence.
Correct.
So I can't change my answer.
So, for me, well, let's go, actually, I'm sorry, nostalgic. Nostalgic rating.
4.5, or 4, I would have rated it.
So 4.5, okay.
Well, no, how I feel about the nostalgia.
Currently.
5.
5. So you rate the game today 5.
Yes.
You rate the game for nostalgia when you fired it up still 5, even though you played it 4 or 5 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
But what I would have rated it then is 4. And now, what do you think of this game with your ratings? As far, I think you just said the camera. But
yeah.
What about Tankard's up to 5?
I have to say 4.
Nice.
I think
I wasn't expecting that.
I think 4 is probably appropriate for me here because it's not the best platformer that I've ever played, but it certainly took me by a huge surprise. Like I said, initially I fired up the game and I was expecting it was some Wizards and Warriors where it wasn't quite as fun.
Yeah.
Because I actually wasn't a big fan of Wizards and Warriors.
Well, I wasn't a big fan of Wizards and Warriors, but it's nostalgic and fun.
Right, okay. But this game immediately took me by surprise on by how it portrayed its levels. And it was incredible to me that it was so dynamic for being so early on. And a lot of the games of this era were static.
Yes. Yeah.
They didn't explore, but it felt like they were willing to explore. And it was really cool. Some of the enemies were cool. Some of them were pains in the ass.
Yep.
I hated the fire dudes.
They suck.
So fucking annoying. But other than that, the game was pretty good. So like I said, because I was so surprised on how much I liked it, 4.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hats off to that. I wasn't expecting that you would rate it that high. So I'm happy that I could get a 4 out of you on an old game.
So outside of that, I have to say thanks for listening.
We appreciate it.
Again, we appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to listen to us blabber about random bullshit.
We like to blabber.
Please send us anything honestly. It doesn't even have to be criticism. Send us anything.
It can just be anything.
info@thedigitaltavern.com. That gets it to both of us. Otherwise, individual, Dan at the Digital Tavern or Kevin at the Digital Tavern. If you want to make fun of Kevin, send me an invoice, or if you want to include him in, I guess. Or if you want to make fun of me. Or if you want to make fun of me, send it to Kevin, so on and so forth.
I won't tell him.
We have a YouTube channel. It's unfortunately, it's only our first episode at the moment, but it's only because that shit takes like 12 hours to render.
Yeah, and we wanted to keep it not on time with everything else.
Intentionally so. Yeah. And then if you have the time, rate, like, and comment or whatever you want to fucking do. I don't even care anymore.
Yep.
I care, but I...
You have my phone number, you can text me the comments, but you could also put them down online.
Yes.
That would be more helpful.
Again, we appreciate all the listens because we still are surprised by the amounts of people that we have to listen to us. It's kind of ridiculous.
And I'm only like half of them.
I'm only half. So that explains a lot. If you're half and I'm the other half, we don't have anyone listening.
No, we're talking to ourselves.
Talking to myself.
The fun part is I have to take a plane to these places in other states to listen to them there.
Right. You would have to fly out to Australia or fly off to United Kingdom.
Yeah. I did go on vacation, remember?
Yeah.
Sometime last year.
Yeah, he went back in time and recorded an episode so you could listen to it while you vacationed last year.
Yeah, it was fun.
Hopefully this episode will come out on time, more than likely will.
Yeah, we're recording it on our normal record day, so odds are, as long as there's no technical malfunctions, laptop motherfucker over there, we should be okay.
All right, you folks, you again have a wonderful night because it's nighttime wherever you are, no matter what time of day it is.
Don't forget to sleep.
Don't forget to sleep for a couple hours and pour one out for our homie Kevin.
Bye. Well, that was good. That was fun. I enjoyed that. We even stayed on track. Well, I mean, as much as way more on track.